That was great. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight and study the word of truth. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that your grace is sufficient for all our needs, Lord Jesus. We thank you. And all we have to do is just rest in it and trust in it. Now, Lord, we pray that tonight, by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit, that we're encouraged, that we're enlightened in your holy scriptures as we study your word of truth, rightly divided. We thank you for this opportunity and this platform. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, we're going to go ahead and get into our lesson tonight. Tonight, I want you to consider these words of Romans 3:22. It says, 22 through 25 and 26, 27. Romans 3:23 to 28. We're going to read that where Paul said, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all of them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, my brothers and sisters, whom God has by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, in other words, a sin paper, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at the time, his righteousness, that he, God, might be just and justify him which believeth in Jesus, whereas boasted then. It is excluded, what Paul said, by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Father God put the Lord Jesus Christ on display as propitiation through faith in his blood. This underscores his shed blood, a sacrifice, or a fully satisfied payment for our sins. It was no ordinary death. It was the death of the God-man who went to die in our place to experience God's wrath against our sins. Sin is a barrier between us and God, and believing in God does nothing to remove that barrier. However, the God of the Bible puts his son on Calvary's cross to pay for our sins, to put away our sins, and to be resurrected for our justification. My brothers and sisters, to give us a right standing before God. What we need to do is rely exclusively on his finished cross work as the total payment for our sins. It is not important that we work. It is important that we believe. It is not important that we believe. It is more important what we believe. My brothers and sisters, Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose again the third day, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, Acts 16:31. That's the gospel, my brothers and sisters. In order, we must believe in order to be saved. It's what we believe. If someone asks you, how do you know you have eternal life? It's what you believe. Can you tell them what you believe? Now, last week in the Apostle Paul's letter to Timothy, he instructed him to know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. 2 Timothy 3:1, the last days Paul had in mind were not the last days Joel prophesied about in Joel 2:28-32, or the last days Jesus taught his disciples about in Matthew 24. Paul spoke of the last days of this present dispensation of grace. Paul wanted to impress upon Timothy and us, the body of Christ, how crucial it is to understand the increasing danger and difficulty believers will face in the last days of the present church age. In these last days of the present church age, I guarantee you, if you study Paul's words from his scriptures, from the scriptures, guess what? Church folks, saints in the body of Christ, they are going to be going crazy. Wow. They are going to be wilding out. You won't be able to tell the saints from the sinners. You won't be able to tell those who are in Christ from those in the world. And we see it. We see it so much. We see saints doing so much for the world system. and they classify themselves as Christians. My brothers and sisters, what we are doing at that moment, we are being a stumbling block. My brothers and sisters, we are hindering the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are bringing shame to his glorious name. Those who become adamant in their attacks against the truth of God's word are men of corrupt minds who are disapproved concerning the faith. Their minds have been corrupted by Satan and the god of this age. He has blinded their minds to the truth of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4, and does everything in his power to keep them away from the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:5. We need to be aware of such opposition to the truth of God's word. But we need not despair because of it. Paul reminds that their progress will be limited and that one day their folly, their foolishness, will be manifest to all. 2 Timothy 3:9 and 2 Timothy 3:11 through 12. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecution I endured, but out of them, Paul said, out of them all the Lord delivered me. Then he goes on in verse 12, yea, and all that will live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Based upon Paul's own experience, 2 Timothy 3:11, Paul could confidently point out that the faithfulness to Christ leads to persecution from the ungodly world. And from those who are walking in the flesh, you'll be persecuted, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter those type of saints in the body of Christ, those who are drifted away from the word of God, rightly divided. This stands in stark contrast with the prosperity gospel of our time, which teaches faithfulness to God leads to material blessings in this life. Paul taught godly living included persecution. His own life served as a living testimony to his teaching. Even at the time of this letter, Paul was in prison awaiting pending death for his faith. The other apostles and many in the early church also experienced persecution for living a godly life in Christ Jesus. The awards for God's people are eternal rather than merely earthly blessings. Though God may choose to provide material blessings as well, my brothers and sisters, when you look at what he did with the nation of Israel and how he provided for them, let us consider what it is to live godly tonight in Christ Jesus. This supposes that we are made the righteousness of God in Christ, that we have put our faith in the gospel, believing in the finished work at Calvary. We are one with Christ by a living faith and a violent union, even as Jesus Christ and the Father are one. Living godly means thinking like Christ, doing things Christ's way, and laboring with Christ at what he's doing. So how can you live godly when you don't think like him? How can you live godly when you think like the world and act like the world? How can you do things Christ's way when we act and look like the world? And we are doing the same thing the world is doing. How can we live godly when we are promoting the world system? My brothers and sisters, only we can think like Christ and do things Christ's way and labor with him at what he is doing is follow his prescribed method of studying his word. Study to show thyself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The above verse is the verse that is most often used to say that we are to study our Bibles, rightly divided. But this verse does not say study your Bible. It is assumed that one is already studying their Bible. Did you catch that? This verse is assuming that you're already dedicated, that you're already motivated to study God's word. And then this verse is saying that you have a heart. You love God's word. it assumes that you're already studying the Bible. This verse tells us to study to show that ourselves approved unto God. The number one priority in our life ought to be making ourselves approved unto God. So we have to ask ourselves, is what I'm doing in this world as an ambassador for Christ, is what I'm doing, my brothers and sisters, is it being, does God approve of it? We have to ask that, my brothers and sisters. Does God approve of it? How do we show ourselves approved of God? By being a workman that is not ashamed. A workman that is not ashamed will have a finished product of quality, material, and workmanship. The main tool that we have is the word of truth, the Bible. We are instructed to rightly divide the word of truth. This means we are to recognize the distinction that God has placed in his word. For example, when Paul wrote to the Romans, he made a very distinct division between law and grace. Under the dispensation of the law, it is necessary to do the works of the law for justification. But under the dispensation of grace, justification is by faith, not works. As we read the Bible, as we read the Bible, we ought to be able to see that there are two main distinctions, prophecy and mystery, my brothers and sisters. Paul, in Acts 3:18, 21, 24, Peter said that all the events that happened were that which was spoken by the mouth of all holy prophets since the world began. Paul, on the other hand, was given the revelation of the mystery, which was not made known in other ages. Ephesians 3:5. My brothers and sisters, understand the difference of prophecy and mystery. Understand what God is doing. What God was doing in the past is doing today and will do in ages to come. And you can't live godly if you don't know God's program. You can't live godly in Jesus Christ if you don't know what God is doing today. So you're talking about persecution going to come. No, ain't no persecution coming your way. Because when you don't have no clue of what God is doing, you're not living godly in Christ Jesus. My brothers and sisters, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 3:9-15, I'm just going to read verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then he said, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire, judgment. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man works abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Paul, as a wise master builder, he laid the foundation that we are to build upon. Paul's foundation is Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, Romans 16:25. There is another foundation that is Jesus Christ according to the prophecy in Romans 15:20. Paul says that he strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest he should build upon another man's foundation. As a workman laboring with God, we need to take heed what we build upon that foundation. There are different building materials, my brothers and sisters. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul says that the grace of God that was bestowed upon him was not in vain. But he labored more abundantly than them all. Paul's labor was not in vain because he understood God's plan, and then he labored together with God. My brothers and sisters, we are saved by grace. And we need the grace of God in order to live our lives pleasing unto him. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Those who live godly are thinking like God, doing things God's way, and laboring together with God. You're thinking like God. You're doing things God's way. So you have to ask yourself, what am I doing? But it's not thinking like God. Ungodly, because they resisted learning what God was doing during the time of Jesus Christ of the seed of David, was raised from the dead. Yes, he was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein I suffer, Paul said. 2 Timothy 3:7-13 In verse 9, Paul said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I undo all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ, Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. I'm reading 2 Timothy 2:7-13. Then he says in verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abide faithful. He cannot deny himself. Paul writes to Timothy a doctrine issue, and then says that because of that, he suffers trouble. Then he goes on to say, if we suffer, we will reign with him. Suffering comes when we live godly in Christ Jesus. And if we suffer, then we will reign with him. This has to do with our walk. Are we living our lives in such a manner that we are thinking like God, doing things God's way, and laboring together with God? If we are, then we will suffer persecution. And we will have the reward of reigning with Christ Jesus. Paul also said, if we deny him, then he will deny us. But we know that this is not referring to our salvation, because verse 13 says, that it says that if we believe not, he will remain, what? Faithful. He cannot deny himself. 1 Corinthians 3:15 tells us that if our works are burned, we shall be saved but suffer loss. What is the loss? It is to deny the reign with Christ Jesus. When we deny him, when we do not live godly, when we are not laboring together with God, then we become a workman that will stand before him ashamed. My brothers and sisters, Paul says in Philippians 1:22-30, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, strive together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. Paul offers encouragement when we suffer. It is a privilege to suffer when we live godly, and we should not be ashamed. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. God wants to walk in us. He wants to walk that resurrected life in us. This happens as we labor together with God. And then 2 Corinthians 6:16, Paul says, and what agreement has he, the temple of God, with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3:9. And the material we use is the doctrine that we apply. Are we applying the doctrine that was given to the Apostle Paul in the dispensation of grace? Or are we applying the doctrine that was given to Israel to establish the earthly kingdom? It is only as we labor together with God that is doing the things he is doing in the dispensation of grace that we'll be using building material that will withstand the fire. The word which has given us a clear division of prophecy and mystery, and it is our responsibility to understand what God's plan and his purpose is for both, my brothers and sisters. I want you to go and read Ephesians 1:10. My brother and sister says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, God will gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, the mystery, and which are on earth, prophecy. And Colossians 1:16 tells us that things refer to the positions of government that are ruling and reigning. And I want you to go and read Colossians 3:1 through 12. Read Colossians 3. Colossians 3:1 through 12. I want you to go and read that, my brothers and sisters. Living godly. I want you to say this. We have an opportunity to reign. God is going to fill positions of rank and authority in heaven. If you are to fill one of those positions, then you must be an approved workman, right dividing the word of truth, so that your works are not in vain. Living godly means that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. We cannot live godly in him if we aren't being transformed by the word of God. They that are in Christ are new creatures. Old things are passed away and all things have become new in their hearts. Their life is hid with Christ and God. Their souls daily feed on the word of God, right in the Bible. To live God in Christ is to make God's divine will and not our own. The sole principle of all our thoughts, words, and actions. So that whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do all to the glory of God. Those who live godly in Christ may not so much be said to live as Christ to live in them. He is our Alpha and our Omega, our first and our last, our beginning and end. We are led by his Spirit as a child is led by the hand of his Father and are willing to follow him. Wherever so he leads us, are we willing to follow him? They hear, know, and obey his voice through his word, right to the Bible. That's how he speaks to us, through his word. Our affections are set on things above. Our hopes are full of immortality. Our citizenship is in heaven. We habitually live to and daily walk with God. We are pure in heart. And from a principle of faith in Christ, are holy in all manner of conversation and godliness. This is to live godly in Christ Jesus. And hence we may easily learn why so few suffer persecution. Because so few live godly in Christ Jesus. You may live formally in Christ, you may attend on outward duties. You may live morally in Christ. You may, as they term it, do no one any harm and avoid persecution. But they that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Are you resolved to live godly in Christ Jesus? Notwithstanding, the consequences would be that you must suffer persecution. Or do you back down, my brothers and sisters, when folks begin to persecute you, talk about you, call you everything, but who you are in Christ is ambassador. My brothers and sisters, you are beginning to build, but you have taken our Lord's advice to sit down first and count the cost. Have you sat down and count the cost of what it is to live godly in Christ Jesus? Have you truly counted the cost of living godly in Christ Jesus? The persecution, the suffering for Christ's sake, the criticism, the pain and the suffering, with God having designed it so that we can glorify him when we suffer for Christ's sake, it is little wonder that Paul was not ashamed to do so. It is little wonder that he gloried in his infirmities and said, therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Can we stand and say these words boldly like Apostle Paul did? Living God in Christ Jesus mean taking pleasure in our persecutions. Suffering for Christ's sake was a gift of God that Paul gladly received. He understood the significance and the privilege wrapped up in those three words, for Christ's sake. Therefore, he wanted the gift. He cherished the gift. And he rejoiced over the gift. May we, as one to whom the same gift is given, learn to do likewise and not refuse the gift that is often done. In 1 Corinthians 4:9-13, for I think that God has set forth us the apostles last. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:9-13. He said, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world. Have you counted the cost tonight? And to angels, made a spectacle unto angels, to men. He's Paul said, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, the filth of the world, and the offscorn of all things until this day. Living godly in Jesus means we will become as the offscorn of the world, as the scum of all things when you live godly in Christ Jesus. Offscorn and scum are synonymous. Offscorn denotes that which is thrown away in cleansing. Hence, refuse, filth. Scum denotes that which is wiped off, hence rubbish, refuse. Here in 1 Corinthians 4, the Corinthians must not puff themselves up to put themselves in position of judging one of their ministers against another. In doing so, Paul strongly affirmed the principle that God's written word and not human tradition or opinion is the ultimate authority of our faith. When opinion is elevated to the same status as God's word, bickering and division will result. Paul is telling the Corinthians to not go beyond Scripture, telling them to learn to live by the book and stop following men. Apostle Paul said, we are fools for Christ's sake, and you are wise. Paul uses sarcasm to describe these Corinthians' attitude of pride and self-reliance instead of humility and dependence on God. And that's what many in the body of Christ have today. Pride. Pride. They have pride. Some folks have pride to stand up for the world system. They got pride and boldness. No matter what you tell them, what God's word says. They justify what they're doing in the world system, no matter what you tell them, what God's word says. They try to dance around to make it where it's presentable, even though they know they're ambassadors for Christ. My brothers and sisters, Apostle Paul said, we are fools for Christ's sake, and you are wise. Paul uses that sarcasm. They already have everything they want. They are rich. Why would they need anything from God? That's what many folks, they already have everything they want. They are rich. Apostle Paul and apostles are considered fools because they know and preach nothing but Christ. On the other hand, the Corinthians use their Christianity as another philosophy to extend their reputation as wise and enlightened people. Paul likened himself to the lowest criminal, to the off-scorn, scum, the rubbish, the few. In the eyes of certain worldly people, our situation is the same. Compared to them, we are scum and off-scorn. And I guarantee you, when you stand up and live God in Christ Jesus, those in the world, sister, you're going to be persecuted. I guarantee you. The adversary is going to come at you. Because you know what God is doing today, and you know how to think. You're thinking like Christ, and you're doing things Christ's way. You're living godly in Christ Jesus. You're going to suffer persecution. And we're going to pick this up next week, my brothers and sisters. Oh, it's wonderful. This word is great. God is great. Oh, he's so wonderful. Let us pray. Father, heaven, thank you for your word. We pray as those who listen in. We pray that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened. They came from the word of truth tonight, edified, built up, want to go on, Lord Jesus, because we know that your grace is sufficient. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.